We turn to the other great half of the program, of the optimization part of the program, which is constrained optimization. Okay? Up to now, all the problems we've seen were of this kind. We wish to find the minima of some function f from Rn to R all over the full space. Now, we turn to the situation where we want to find the minima of this function, not on the full space, so this goes away, but over a given subset of R, capital F. Okay? And clearly, the underlying assumption is that F is not the full space. Okay? Though you can recover some results as particular cases when X is the full space, some results where it will be meaningful if X is the full space. We will follow the same path. We will discuss optimality conditions first, and then we will try to build algorithms on optimality conditions. We will consider two cases for optimality condition. One now, and the other sometimes later. Two cases. First, X, capital X, is a generic subset of Rn, okay? Given exactly in this way, capital X, okay? Then we will have some properties, for instance, convexity, but no better specified than this, okay? So all we have to do relies on this set. In the second part, we will also, we will give an explicit description of capital X through algebraic inequalities and equalities, okay? For instance, if you want to do a circle, the set of points where the sum of xi squared is less or equal than 1, okay? That's the closed unique form. And more in general, the points in Rn which are described, which satisfy some inequality constraints given through this gi function and some equality constraints given by this hj function. The difference between the two cases is that in this second one, we can exploit the functions themselves. Okay? We can exploit these functions here. Okay? Let's say we have more information. While here we just know that X is a set, here we have an explicit description for functions, and we can exploit the function to build optimality condition and to build algorithms. Okay? This first set of lectures will be for the generic case. Okay? Capital X is a given set. Today we are going to discuss optimality conditions for this case, and in the remaining lectures of the week we will build some algorithms under the additional assumption that capital X is a convex set. Okay? Unconstrained case, we have, let's say, the core of optimality in the fact that the gradient at a local minimum point has to be zero. Okay? Also, second order condition that the Hessian matrix is positive semi-definite. Let's stick to this condition. Okay?
A minimum, a local minimum point is a stationary point,
according to this
formula. And we also find out that if f is convex, this condition is necessary and sufficient. Okay? What now? X is no longer the whole space. I will still find with this. Okay.
Let's suppose we have a point in capital X, which is a local minimum point for X.
Is the gradient zero?
Okay.
So I mean, stationarity is being a necessary minimum condition. Do you have an idea? No. The answer is no, for the simple reason that the stationary point of capital of F could not belong to the capital set X, okay? To capital X. I mean, very, very simple example. Let's take in R2 the square of the Euclidean norm. Okay? The gradient is the vector 2 times x1, x2. So the gradient is 0. The gradient is 0 if and only if x is the 0 vector, okay? Unique stationary point, also unique local minimum. Well, if capital X does not contain the 0 vector, in the feasible region there is no point at which the gradient is 0. Okay? So, this is no longer a good optimality condition. Okay? There is no reason why the gradient should be zero at the point which provides a local minimum for F over capital X. So, the question is, what do we replace this condition with? Okay? I mean, we need to change somehow the definition of stationarity. Okay? It cannot be gradient equals zero anymore. Okay? We need to find something else. And this is the topic of the lecture today. Okay? Try to answer this question. Is it clear? Okay.
Let's draw a picture just to have an idea. Okay. Let's think this is our capital X in our okay. How do I check if a point is, let's say, a local minimum point? Okay? Well, let's try to check this x bar here. Okay? I'm just interested in the point which belongs to this region. Okay? So, to me, there is no, let's say I consider the ball. Around the point. I have no interest in understanding what the function does here. Okay? Because these points are close to X bar, but they are outside the region of my interest. Okay? So there's no reason to compare the value of the function in our point with all these points here which approach X bar. Okay. I'm just, my interest is to check what happens If I approach X bar from the inside of the physical region, let's say from points which belong to the physical region, okay, I'm interested in the behavior of these sequences here. Okay? If I'm moving in the physical region and I'm approaching X bar, if the points are close enough to X bar, I want the value of the functions of the function to be greater in those points than in X bar. Okay? That means is, I mean, if it's a local minimum, this has to happen. When I enter this area here, the value of the function must be greater. So I want to check whether f at x bar is less or equal than f at xn, where, let's say, at xk, where xk is a sequence of points which converge to x bar. It is a sequence of points belonging to my physical region capital X, and let's say I'm not interested in the fact that any of these points is x bar. Okay? So I take any sequence done this way, and I want to answer this question. Is this true? Okay? A sequence done this way is called a feasible sequence. Okay? Let's say it's feasible. Now, let me just play a little bit with this feasible sequence. I can write it this way. Xk is somehow x bar plus tk for some direction dk, and where, let me make the right choice, dk is equal to xk minus x bar divided by the norm of this vector, and tk is the norm of this vector here. Okay? If you do tk times dk, you get xk minus x bar. You add x bar, you get xk. Okay? So any feasible sequence can be written in this way. Okay? Let's check it on the picture. Let's say this is xk. Okay. This vector here, no, another color. Is tk dk. Okay? X bar plus tk dk brings to xk. And you can do the same thing for all the other points. Okay? So, as xk approaches x bar, this vector becomes smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. Okay? But, for my own choice, notice here, that the norm of the vector decay is always 1, okay? Because it's a vector divided by its norm. Okay, so the norm of this vector is always unitary. It's always 1. Okay? So I'm taking the direction to be always unitary. What goes to 0 is the step. Okay? This decay. Okay? So I can think, let's say this is the unit ball around, it's the ball of center x bar and radius 1. This is decay. Okay. I'm taking all the direction on the border of the ball, and then I'm considering the suitable length. Okay. This is the important tool here. Why? You need to recall a little bit properties that we have seen in the very first lecture. So this means that decay belongs, let's say, to the unit ball. Okay? To the closed unit ball. This is a compact set. We know that when you have a sequence in a compact set, if you take a suitable subsequence, the subsequence converges to some point. Okay? Every sequence in a compact set has a limit point. Okay? So, taking the suitable subsequence, we can imagine that decay converges to some unit direction d. Okay. Let me try to zoom our picture. This is the unit ball. Part of the unit ball. Let's suppose my sequence is this point here, okay? D1, D2, D3, D4, D5, no, sorry, and D2, D3, D4, D5, D6, and so on, somehow I have a limiting direction. Okay? If you want to see a continuous version of this, let's suppose that our sequence belongs to some curve, inside the physical region. Okay? This is the unit ball. You take a point here, the direction is this one. You take another point here, the direction is this one, and so on. In the end, in the limit, you will find this one, which is somehow, okay, roughly speaking, tangent to my path. Okay? This is the sense of this limiting direction here. Okay? So, directions with this property are called limit directions, and we consider them and all their multiples. Okay, so let's say that a direction dk, no sorry, d in Rn, is a limit direction for capital X at a point X bar in capital X, if there exists, if there exists, let's say, a feasible sequence,
this is a feasible sequence,
Xn, such that
you take this ratio, you take the limit, and you get this.
Such that Xk minus X bar divided by Xk minus X bar mod goes to B. Okay? From a geometrical point of view, you take all possible curves which approach X bar being inside the feasible region, okay, and you take their tangents, okay, of X bar, roughly speaking. Okay? It's the limit, the limit direction are those directions which in the limit you can approach or you can approach asymptotically X bar from being, keep being in the feasible region. Okay? By this definition, limit directions are all unitary. Okay, because this is a unitary vector, and the limit of a unitary vector is a unitary vector because it's normally continuous. Okay, so limit directions are unitary. We take all limit directions and all their multiples, and we call these the tangent cone. Okay, so let me give the definition formally here. The tangent cone of capital X at X bar is the following set. Okay, I could simply say the limit directions and all their positive multiples. I will restate exploiting this definition here. Here you need Xk to be in capital X. So it's all the set of directions V in Rn, such that there exists, let's say, a sequence of length dk going to zero, and a sequence of directions dk going to d, such that xk, which is x bar plus tk dk, belongs to capital X. This is called the tangent cone of capital X at X bar, or also the Boolean tangent cone of capital X at X bar belonging to capital X. Okay? So, let's take once again our picture. Okay, where this goes here horizontally. And this is X bar. What do you think the tangent cone to be? At this point for this capital X. Okay? I need all the limits of all the curves inside here. So I can go along lines and I will get the full cone, the full this set. And then I will go roughly here and I will take the horizontal line. So the tangent cone here is given by the order. Okay? This is
okay. This is the
spaghetti. Huh?
Yeah, it's three.
Yeah, sorry. My picture is not very good, but this is the line. Okay. So this is the portal.
Let me see. Let's do another couple of examples.
Suppose capital X is this one, okay? And the point is this one. And this approach X bar vertical, okay? What's the tangent form? Yeah, you need to approach X bar inside here. And in the limit, the only way you can do it is vertical. So in this case, the tangent form is merely this line. Notice the difference. Here, the tangent cone somehow contains the set. Here, the tangent cone is very slim with respect to the set. Okay? Remark, this is a convex set. This is not a convex set. Capital X. Here is not convex, while here it is convex. Let me give you another picture. Okay, imagine this is a parabola. The vertex is here, and this is another parabola. Okay, and capital X is the part of the plane between the two parabolas. Okay? What is the tangent cone? Okay, I need to approach X bar along curve time this way. Okay, which in the limit, both from the lower and the upper border, provides an horizontal line. Okay, so in this case, the tangent cone is. Okay, the only way I can approach here in the limit is horizontal. So what I get as a tangent cone is the horizontal line. Okay. Is the intuition clear? Okay. I'm approaching the point from inside the feasible region and I take the limit, the tangent to the course, which allow me to approach the point in the feasible region. The tangent cone has a number of properties. Okay. Okay, the first one I'll show you for an example. Suppose your region is something, I don't mind the shape alpha. Okay. And suppose X bar is here, in the interior of the region. What's the tangent cone? How can I approach the point? Yeah, you're saying. I can approach the point along any curve doing whatever it likes. Okay? So in this case, the tangent cone is the full space. Okay? So, first property, if X bar is a point in the interior of capital X, it means there is a ball centered in X bar all contained in capital X, then the tangent cone is the full space. Second property.
I can. It's yeah. I can.
Okay, I give it to you. If X is convex, capital X is convex, then the tangent cone is convex as well.
Oh, there was a zero property actually,
which I forgot. First of all, the tangent cone is a cone.
Okay. It means that if a vector d is in the cone, all its multiples are in the cone. Okay. How do you see this?
Okay. If d is in the cone, it means this, that you have these sequences here. Okay. If you want to take a multiple, okay, it is enough to divide this sequence by the same value, the same multiple. And when you make this, divided this times this, then you erase. Okay.
So it's a cone, and also you can prove that it's a closed set. Okay, if you have a sequence of points in the cone, and this sequence has a limit, then also the limit belongs to the cone.
So this is a closed cone.
Okay, let's skip that blackboard and let's go back here.
And let's try to get some optimality conditions. So, let's suppose that our f function f is at least differentiable, okay, at the given point. Okay, so let's say that it is differentiable at x bar. So, let's consider the problem of minimizing f over capital F. We have the optimality condition. Let x bar be a feasible point, which is also a local minimum point of f over capital F. Okay? Then we have our optimality condition that reads this way. The scalar product of the gradient of f at x bar with d is non-negative whenever d is the direction in the tangent cone of capital F at x bar. Okay. So the first thing to do is to test the gradient of the function with all these directions. Okay? What does it mean? In other words, let me try in other words. This means that d is not at the same direction for f. Okay? A necessary condition for x bar to be a local minimum is that there exists no descent direction in the tangent cone. Okay? And the tangent cone is the limit of all directions from which I can approach x bar from inside the feasible region. Okay? So this is
essentially stating that I cannot approach X bar, okay,
asymptotically from
at the same direction, from inside the physical region. Okay. If I'm in the physical region, and that is a local minimum point, there is no way to approach that point from the physical region asymptotically along the same direction. It looks almost like the definition. What is the difference? The difference is that here we have a tangent point. Okay? We don't have exactly the directions because we are doing a limit process. Okay? A limiting process. So that's the difficulty. I have a couple of remarks. Okay. Not yet. No. Why should it be complex? It works everywhere, okay? Clearly, the smaller this tangent cone is, the less interesting this condition is. For instance, there are some sets for which the tangent cone is just the zero vector. Okay? This condition is meaningless because it says zero greater or equal than zero. Okay? Or there are other examples like the one we had before in which it was just a line. Okay? Let's remember we are talking about a necessary optimality condition. Okay? If the point is a minimum, this has to happen. But if this happens, there's no reason up to now for which this has to be a minimum point. Okay. My remarks were two, and they were the following. Suppose capital X. Oh no. Okay. First. Suppose X bar is a stationary point for F. Okay? It means the gradient is zero. Okay? The original case from the unconstrained case. Okay?
If in your physical region, so you have a point at which F is stationary, this is zero and this condition is automatically satisfied because this vector is zero. Okay? So stationary points of F satisfy this necessary condition.
What we have seen is that generally stationary points do not belong to the physical region. Okay, it may happen they don't. But if they do, they satisfy the automatic. And it's true because they are stationary points for the function all over the space. Okay, for minimizing the function all over the space. Second remark. Suppose X bar is an interior point of our region. Okay? So
this is the region, it means it is X bar is here, and this is above.
And it is a local minimum point. We know, we discussed it before, that if it is an interior point, then the tangent cone is the full space. Okay. So this condition with this scalar product is greater or equal whenever you take any d in Rn. Okay. So this means that the gradient has a non-negative scalar product with all vectors in Rn. And this is possible if and only if, I mean,
suppose you have that, you are saying this. A transpose B is greater or equal than zero for all B in Rn.
Who is A? You must find a vector whose scalar product is greater or equal than zero with all other vectors. Okay. For instance, you could take A to B, sorry, B to B minus A. This would be minus the norm of A greater or equal than 0. That means the norm of A equals 0, that means A equals 0. So the unit vector, well, the non-negative scalar product with all the vectors of the full space is the zero vector. So,
if a minimum point, local minimum point, lies in the interior of the physical region, then this condition becomes gradient equals 0. Okay? So, if X bar belongs in the interior of capital F, this condition becomes gradient of F equals 0. Okay. This is the reason why when you are doing, you are looking for minima over an open set. In an open set, all points are interior points. You roughly say it is like doing unconstrained optimization. Okay? Because a minimum point must be a stationary point. There's no other solution. If the region is open, okay, find the minimum is equivalent to find the stationary point. But you can tell me, okay, but if there's no stationary point in that region, it means that in the region there's no local minimum point. Okay? And the reason for this is that the region is open, so the actual minimum would be on the border. Okay? But the border does not belong to the region, otherwise the set would not be open. Okay? So this is roughly saying that apart from very particular cases, okay, generally, in constrained optimization, minima are along the frontier, around the border. Okay? It's not always true, but sounds like it. Okay? So, let's say the interesting part for optimization of a feasible region is generally the border. Okay? In the sense that if minima are not on the border, there must be stationary point for F, and then you can try to find them without taking care of the constraint. Okay? Oh, sorry, without taking care of the constraint too much. And we will see some techniques which try to solve this problem working on open sets. Okay? So this is what this optimality condition is telling us. No descent direction can be tangent to capital F as our local minimum point. If minima are in the interior, then the condition collapses to stationarity for F. Okay, I would say we take a 5-minute break. Then we will discuss about this more, and we will consider the case in which capital X is convex.